listen, if happiness is at the center of your life, if you say, happiness is my God, then I can guarantee you're not going to be married long. Because the day will come where your spouse will make you unhappy. And you will feel, I am justified to get rid of it because happiness is my God.
This is Straight Talk.
You're listening to Straight Talk Radio. My name is Joshua Hollick, your host, and I'm here with Pastor Mark Jobe, senior pastor at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Pastor Mark, we've been here in the city for 30 years. God's done incredible things. And not everybody realizes that when they tune in to the program, everything that's happening here in the city. Tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, we're really excited. Of course, there's great churches around the city of Chicago that we partner with, but we at New Life Community Church are also, we have a vision to see the city of Chicago transformed. So we've been planting, we actually have 40 worship services that happen in and around the city of Chicago every Sunday in Spanish, in English, in Mandarin, but we have a vision to plant in the next 4 years, we have a vision to plant another 30 locations in the city of Chicago.
I'm sorry, hold on. Can you say that again?
Yeah, that's what I think about, Joshua. So this is stretching to us. It's a massive endeavor. It involves people and leaders and finances. But we believe that great cities like Chicago need life-giving communities of faith rooted in neighborhoods that are preaching the gospel and helping to bring the culture, the kingdom of God to those neighborhoods.
Yeah, and I grew up in the faith here. I've been here 18 years, over half my life now, so figure that one out. And what drew me in was the vision and the passion to just to live real Christianity and what that looks like. And I just love the vision here to reach 1% of the city of Chicago. It's a phenomenal task. And also to reach cities, global cities around the world. And so if you're out there today, you don't have a home church, you've been listening, or maybe you're just tuning in today and you're looking for a place to grow. Like Pastor Mark said, a lot of great churches in the city, but we would love to meet you. Go to newlifechicago.org and find a new life near you and come and be a part of it. And if you feel like you have a call in your life, Pastor Mark, is there room for people who feel like, man, I think God may want to use me to be a church planter?
We are looking to raise, train church planters, especially that have a heart for the city of Chicago. So contact us. We'd love to talk to you, love to meet with you.
You can find information about church planting and getting in connection with us at newlifecities.org. And you can fill out a report there and get right in touch with us, and we'd love to meet you. But now, let's get into today's message.
Thanks, Josh. Hi, everyone. Thank you for joining us for this edition of Straight Talk. We are going to conclude Pastor Mark's message called Thou Shalt Not Commit Adultery, which is from our current series called Rock Solid Living. Our text will continue in the book of Exodus chapter 20, verse 14. Here's Pastor Mark.
If you are a believer and then you act like you're not a believer and you live like your neighbors and you satisfy your needs like everybody else and you act like you're not a believer, what God says is you are committing spiritual adultery. You have a covenant relationship with God, but you act like you're not in a relationship with God. He says, you adulterous people. It's the same thing. If you're in a covenant relationship with God, and you say, well, I have legitimate needs. Listen, adultery always falls under the category of I have legitimate needs that I try to satisfy illegitimately. You know, it always works that way. I've never sat down with a couple that's having problems, never sat down with someone that's fallen away from God or committing spiritual adultery in their life that doesn't, first of all, tell me, excuse to me why it's happened. Well, Pastor, I just want to be happy. I'm just trying to be happy. And doesn't God want me to be happy? And I'm married to this person. And they make me unhappy. Very unhappy. If God wants me happy and they make me unhappy, then it's God's will for me to find someone else that's going to make me happy. So therefore, God wants me happy, and because God wants me happy, I should eliminate anything in my life that makes me unhappy. Listen to me. That absolutely is the most worldly, carnal philosophy that you will ever embrace. You will never find anywhere in the Bible that God's main objective is to make you happy. That is consumerism Christianity. Some of you have bought into the fact that God's up there. How am I going to make them happy? There's a trial in your life. Oh, let me eliminate it so you'll be happy. You got a bad boss? Oh, let me break his leg to make you happy. Your spouse is critical? Let me die of a heart attack. Get you a better one. Make you happy. No. God's goal in life is not to make your life easy and make your life happy. Listen, the byproduct of serving God, living for God, putting God at the center, is that you'll experience joy and happiness, but it's the byproduct. Your goal and my goal is to live for God, the pursuit of happiness at every expense is called hedonism. Hedonism, the unabashed pursuit of pleasure and happiness, so that we have no morality, no standards, and will eliminate anything that makes us unhappy. That is called hedonism. And if hedonism is your God, then God is not your God. Listen, this is really important to understand. Because unless you understand that, I run into all kinds. I've sat down with couples. I've sat down with young couples. A conversation comes to my mind where I'm sitting down with a young married couple. She's looking at me and saying, well, my husband here, nothing against you, honey, he doesn't make me happy. And I'm in a relationship with a guy that does make me happy. I want to follow God, but God, I'm sure, wants me happy. So I know I probably shouldn't divorce him and get rid of him, but I'm going to do it anyways because I want to be happy and he doesn't make me happy. Listen, if you buy into that philosophy, you will get rid of your kids when they make you unhappy. You will get rid of your spouse when they make you unhappy. You will run from situations that you should stay in that make you unhappy. God never promised that life would be easy serving him, but he did promise that he would give you joy unspeakable and full of glory when you say, God, my life belongs to you, and even the hard things of life belong to you, and I will pursue you. You are at the center of my life, not the pursuit of happiness, and happiness will come to me, and joy will come to me when I pursue you with all of my heart. I can guarantee you, listen, if happiness is at the center of your life, if you say happiness is my God, then I can guarantee you, you're not going to be married long. Because the day will come where your spouse will make you unhappy. And you will feel, I am justified to get rid of it because happiness is my God. And the interesting thing I've discovered is that most people that pursue happiness and make happiness the center, they make themselves and their happiness the center and have no morality, no standards, and don't put God in the beginning at the center. They shoot up, they snort, they sleep with whoever makes them happy, they do whatever makes them happy, they cheat, they step on people, walk over people, do whatever, as long as they're happy. What I've discovered is that those people tend to be the most miserable people in the earth. Their pursuit of happiness has led them to misery. I talked to the guy who's in and out, who's left 3 or 4 wives and in and out of relationship. Why? Because he wants to be happy. And you know what? He's miserable, and everybody who encounters is miserable. That's called spiritual adultery. And adultery may seem for a moment that it gives you pleasure, and for a moment it satisfies your need. And there's the thrill of adultery and the thrill of an affair and the thrill of, yeah, this is making me happy. But I can guarantee you that in the end, there's no happiness there, just misery. I can guarantee you that. And so God is speaking to the people of Israel in Jeremiah chapter 3 verse 6. During the king of the reign, Josiah, the Lord said to me, have you seen what faithless Israel has done? She has gone up to every hill and under every spreading tree and has committed adultery there. God is looking at Israel and he's saying, listen, Israel claims that I'm their God, but they chase after every other God. They're pursuing every other God. I'm really not their God. They're committing spiritual adultery. Breaking the promises. I wish I had more time, but I'm going to talk to you about if your heart has committed spiritual adultery or physical adultery, what needs to happen. Listen to what it says in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 32 and 33. A man who commits adultery lacks judgment. Whoever does so destroys himself, but blows and disgrace are his lot, and his shame will never be wiped away. I want to talk to you today. If you are here and you say, Pastor, I gave my life to Jesus Christ, but I'm in spiritual adultery because I'm not living for God. I'm not walking for God. I am not in the middle of God's will right now. Or maybe you're here and you've been married, or you're getting married, or you've been married for a long time, and maybe you've crossed lines in your life. I want to, two things I want to say. First of all, thank God that I've seen the restoring power of God move in many marriages. And I know that there is life after adultery, and God can heal, and God can restore, and God can bring life back again if both parties are willing to pursue it. I believe it, I've seen it, and we have couples here that testify to that fact. But I've convinced that a couple things need to happen. Number one, the journey back from adultery. There's four things that need to happen if there has been physical or even emotional adultery that's happened in your marriage. Number one, you need to acknowledge the sin is against God and your spouse, like King David did in Psalms chapter 51. You need to acknowledge, I've sinned against God and I've sinned against my spouse. Don't make excuses. Don't say why it was his or her fault. Say, I have sinned. You cannot be restored unless, first of all, you acknowledge that you sinned and take responsibility for it. And by the way, can I just pause and say, I know I go against what some counselors would say in the secular world, but I'm going to be honest with you. Oh, I'm going to give you a difficult, difficult, difficult thing here, but I want you to accept it. Listen, if you are a married person and you have been unfaithful to your spouse, I believe in total honesty.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled, Thou Shall Not Commit Adultery, which is from our current series called Rock Solid Living. After the broadcast, I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of this message, as well as give you information regarding Pastor Mark's ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of Exodus, chapter 20, verse 14. Our message is called, Thou Shall Not Commit Adultery.
You say, well, Pastor, it was 10 years ago. They'll never know. I don't want to bring it up, drag them into it, the shame, the embarrassment, the hurt. I mean, I'm embarrassed that it happened, and now you want me to drag them through the pain and the hurt of it all. Listen, I want to tell you that I believe that God wants you to have a relationship of intimacy with your spouse, and as long as there's dirty secrets there, as long as there is stuff in your heart that you hold and that you haven't been honest about, I think it affects your current relationship. I believe that you need to confess it to God, but because you sinned against your spouse, that you need to be honest with your spouse. You say, well, Pastor, I don't even know how to do that. Well, you know, I would talk to someone in our Fusion ministry and have them talk you through that, because I think that you're in a covenant relationship and you cannot be right with your spouse and right with God. Some people think, well, I'm just going to confess it to God. I believe God is the start, but unless you confess it with your spouse, it hasn't gone far enough. You say, Pastor, I don't know what's wrong. I had a conversation with a man years ago. He said, I don't know what's wrong. I feel like I've been in the desert spiritually, he told me. I've been walking in. He was a leader, an elder in the church. Not this church, but another church. And I had known him for a long time. And then he went on to tell me what happened. He went on to tell me that several years back that he had been driving down the street and he'd been stopped by a prostitute. And, and his old life involved in that, and he didn't know what got into him. He let the prostitute in the car, and he had a one-night stand with that prostitute. And he said, I cried out to God, and I said, God, forgive me. God, I don't want that to be a part of my life. He said, I confessed it. I cried out to God. He said, but I feel like I've been living in a desert for the last 10 years. I said, did you ever confess it to your spouse? He said, I couldn't do that. She doesn't deserve that. I said, she doesn't deserve to live with a man that's living in a spiritual desert. She deserves life. She deserves a spiritual man to rise up. He said, it would hurt her so much. It would devastate her. I would rather her go through the devastation of honesty than the years of apathy and spiritual dryness in your own life. Get it right with God. He called me up. He said, Pastor, I did it. I said, how do you feel? He said, I've never felt more relieved. He said, I'm sleeping on the couch. And I don't know how long I'm going to be sleeping on the couch. It may be a long time. But I tell you what, I feel like a new man. And that man right now has been fully restored. His energy, his spiritual life. He's a leader now. His wife got through the process of forgiving and releasing and restoration in his life. And I, that is a different person. It could be a whole different story if he would not have been honest before God. Acknowledge your sin against God and your spouse in the relationship immediately. Immediately. Listen, you have not repented unless you've ended that relationship. You say, Pastor, well, we're no longer involved. We're just going to be friends. Not. Or we're just going to be buddies, but it's all clean now. No. You need to end and cut off that relationship immediately. Avoid contact with that person. And then fourthly, you need to work through the journey of restoration and healing, because it will take time to be restored and the trust to be rebuilt. And all that God wants your marriage to be that as you work through the journey of restoration. And listen to me, men or women, listen to me. Just because you cry and break and ask for forgiveness, don't think that a week later she's going to be back to normal. A huge violation of trust. There's a journey of recovery, a journey of restoration. But I'm convinced that if you are sincere, if your life has really changed, if you show the love and you're humble there, that you can reach a point where your marriage will be better than the way it was before, with full honesty there. I believe that. I'm going to close with this. Listen, I'm going to cover a lot here in the next 5 minutes, so I want you to listen to me well. I believe that as insidious as adultery is, I believe spiritually adultery is just as insidious and grieving of the heart of God. In James, as I read before to you, James says, you adulterous generation, you're more friends with the world than you are with God. You've fallen in love with the world and the ways of the world. You satisfy yourself in the world rather than in me. You're not filled with the Spirit. You're filled with carnality. You don't run to me to hear words. You run to your friends to find your satisfaction. Your joy doesn't come from spending time with me. It comes from watching the latest movie that came out. You're no longer passionate about my things. You no longer want to spend time with me. You no longer have a heart for me. You no longer weep at the thought of the cross and your sins forgiven. You no longer rejoice when someone gets baptized and to see them turn around. You no longer have the faith that you had. You belong to me, but you are friends with the world. There's spiritual adultery in your heart. And God says, listen to me. God gives a pathway back. In James chapter 4, verse 6 through 10, he says, but God gives more grace. That's why Scripture says that God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. And then he tells us six things to do. First of all, he says, submit yourself then to God. If you're making your way back to God, listen, if you have a heart of spiritual adultery right now, listen, the first thing is choose to submit to God and His authority. Listen, as long as you're running your life, you will continue to do what you want to do. If you say that you're a Christian, if you say that the Spirit of Jesus is inside of you, if you say that you belong to God, then make Him Lord of your life and say, God, I submit every area to my life. It's not my way, but your way, God. It's not what I want, but it's what you want, God. It's not my desires, but your desires, God. I put myself in submission to you. That's what it means to submit yourself then to God. Most of us have gotten in the trouble that we've gotten because we've allowed ourselves to dictate what we want instead of saying, God, what's your way? What do you want, God? Not what are my needs and how do I fulfill them, but God, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to live? God, I submit, even though it's hard and my flesh wants this. I submit to your way, God, because your way is higher than my God, my way. The Bible says the first step to return to God is to be willing to submit to His authority, to His obedience, to His leadership. Secondly, resist the devil and he will flee from you. You'll have no power over your temptation until, first of all, you've submitted to God. Some of you have been struggling with the same temptation over and over and seem like you have no power because you have no power to resist the devil because you have no submission to God. You're going up trying to fight your desire and you fall and fall and fall, and you've been falling for 10 years, 3 years, 2 years. And God says, submit yourself first to Him. Say, not my will, God, not what I want, but you want. You are Lord, God, and I bow my knee again. Then the Bible says, rise up. And now you can resist temptation and resist the devil and he will flee from you, but only if you've submitted yourself to God. Thirdly, draw near to God. Listen, I love this about this. Come near to God and He will come near to you. Don't you love that about the heart of God? But God is saying, I want to have a relationship with you. If you're far from me, take a step towards me. And God says, God is waiting for you to take a step of submission, waiting for you to say, God, I'm tired of this. I want to live your way. I want it to be you, God. God is saying, take a step. And the Bible says, when you take a step, then God will draw near to you. He's waiting for you to draw near to Him, waiting for you to take that step. You say, well, how do I do it, Pastor? Whatever way you can. You come to the altar, you pray, you get on your knees, you tell God, God, I need you. Whatever step you have to take, whatever God is asking you to take, you take that step, and God will meet you where you are at. That's the promise of God. As soon as you step near, God says, here I am. I love that about the heart of God. He's just waiting for some of you to take that step. Saying, I want to see that you want me, God is saying. I want to see that you're serious. I want to see that you have any inclination to get right with me. And I will meet you right where you're at. I'm not going to stand there with my arms crossed saying, grovel a little bit more. God is not that way. He says, take a step and I will meet you right where you're at. And I'll put my arm around you and help you on through the journey of restoration. But show me that you want me. Show me that you want to get right. Show me that you have a desire for me. That's the heart of God. And then the Bible says, number four, repent from your actions and your attitudes. Listen to what it says. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. It's the actions on the outside and the attitudes on the inside. Listen, if there's stuff that you've done that sinned against God, you have to say, God, I have sinned against you. This is it. And even the attitudes of your heart. What you've done on the outside and the attitudes that you said, cleanse your hands. How do you cleanse yourself? You confess and you repent. And confession is different than just admitting. You confess to God. You say, God, I've sinned against you. I've violated, and I know it's wrong. And I know that's not the way I need to live, God. And I'm willing to leave it behind. I repent of it. I put it behind me. And the Bible says when you confess and you repent, that God is faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. But you have to come to Him and be willing to confess and repent.
This has been our message entitled, Thou Shall Not Commit Adultery, which is from Pastor Mark's series called Rock Solid Living. Please join us again on the next Straight Talk as we start a new message called, Thou Shall Not Steal. As I mentioned earlier, if you'd like to have a copy of this message, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJob, J-O-B-E.com. There you will find over 45 other series that can help you in your daily walk with God. If you'd prefer to have a CD of the message, contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. We also invite you to check out a New Life location near you this Sunday. We have 25 life-giving locations throughout the city of Chicago, and you can check us out at www.newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. We'd love to meet you. And please tell them that you heard about New Life through the radio program. We hope that you've enjoyed this broadcast, and we thank you for joining us. Please do listen in to the next Straight Talk. On behalf of Pastor Mark, myself, and the Straight Talk team, we appreciate your listenership. Have a great evening, and God bless.